right. Welcome, everybody. You are possibly attending again our Impact Investments podcast. My name is Heather Dries. I'm the Director of Funding, and I have along with me Eric Bergman, our Investor Relations person, man of the hour.
Glad to be back. Thank you.
Yeah. Heather. It's exciting. This is actually our second podcast, so if you did view the first one, thank you for coming back. If you're new to this, we welcome you. We're pretty excited about this. It's hard to believe we're already doing our second one. I don't know about you, Eric, but it seems like it went very fast.
It definitely does. That's for sure.
This is Eric's favorite part of his day. Now, it's been fun. I've done webinars for a really long time. I'm sure if you've been around the Lee Arnold team and our staff, you've probably listened to some of our webinars. And for a long time, they served a great purpose, but they did tend to get a little monotonous and boring, so it was kind of a nice change of pace to do the podcast. I don't know about you, Eric, but I enjoy it.
I enjoy it. It's just, let's kick back and talk about the economy and I'm comfortable with it, and I think our listeners get a lot from it. And we are striving to bring new content and bring you information that you need to know when you need to know it to make good investment decisions moving forward.
Yeah, that's great. Well, happy Mother's Day to any of you moms out there. I don't know about you, but I had a great Mother's Day. It was nice to spend it with my kids and my family and my sister and my mom. So happy Mother's Day to everyone. A couple things just before we get started. As we go along and afterwards, if you want more information, you'd like to talk to Eric and I about possibly your portfolio and some different options for you, please don't hesitate to call the office at 800-971-5988 or visit our website at www.securedinvestmentcorp.com. So we'll mention that contact info again before we finish up, but just wanted to point that out. So just a recap of our last podcast, we talked a little bit about funds versus REITs, really just a general overview of who we are. Do you have anything to maybe notate on the funds versus the REITs?
Yeah, you know, that was a great podcast. I think that we highlighted that both investment strategies can be right for the right person. It just comes down to doing your research and finding out what strategy best suits your goals and your objectives and kind of where you're at in the big scheme of things. Moving on to the market overview, let me just start by saying, did we really just see a plant-based burger company go public at a $1.5 billion valuation and see a 163% increase on their stock price on the first day?
Absolutely. And I can attest, I've had that burger and it's amazing.
Is it?
It's very good.
This company hasn't even turned a profit, not a dollar. They lost $30 million last year, $1.5 billion valuation.
Wow, that's amazing.
So what that tells me is this market is showing signs of overheating. It's interesting because the economy is firing on all cylinders, but for a company like this to come out and be one of the best IPOs in the past 20 years says to me that people are searching for new things to buy. Mm-hmm. Don't be surprised if we see that stock reset its price at some point in the future. But with that said, ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. It is going to be a bumpy, bumpy road moving forward. We're not saying that we're not going to trend higher because we still could, but it's going to be a bumpy ride along the way. That is for sure. With the markets, Dow Jones Industrial Average year to date, 12.17%. S&P 500, 15.17%. And the NASDAQ is still up a staggering 19.32%. So this is not taking into account the market decline that we've seen so far in this trading session, which as of 5 minutes ago was approximately 200 basis points to the downside. So you can add that to these numbers. Some things that came out since our last podcast. Obviously, the China thing has been a back and forth. It's a political thing. Just this morning, China announced that they are going to implement their own tariffs on our goods, anywhere from 5% to 25%. So this is looking more and more like a trade war, which it was sold as something completely different. So something to be very mindful of. And that will definitely be contributing to the volatility moving forward. In terms of the positives, April job numbers came back better than expected. We added 263,000 new jobs to the economy in the month of April. That's exceptional.
That's great.
Unemployment rate is down to a historical low, 3.6%, lowest since 1969. Inflation remains below the 2% target. And the Q1 earnings, for the most part, came back stronger than expected. So what do you say to yourself when you have all of these leading economic indicators showing signs of strength, yet we show a marketplace that seems overbought and looking for a reason to reset? It's a difficult market to predict. In my opinion, borderline impossible. There's just too many variables that one can't really guess. So my advice to you is to move some assets around and be more mindful of what risk you're taking than what returns you're looking for. So that's my advice on that. Heather, I think you were going to chat a little bit, or we were going to chat a little bit about self-directed
Absolutely.
IRAs today.
Yep.
You probably know a lot more about that than I do, so I'm going to let you kind of lead the way there.
Perfect. Well, I think it's a perfect segue because you posed the question, you know, what do people do in this type of market? And it's interesting. I mean, you follow the market a little bit closer than I do, just for the simple fact that I've always been more real estate minded. But I can always tell what's going on with the market just by the volume of calls I get in the office during a day, or the emails. Hey, you know, how's your fund doing? What kind of notes do you have? When the market does this, we tend to get a higher volume of call.
Oh, yeah.
I think one of the things with real estate backed assets, whether that's through the notes or through the funds, those are the types of assets you can ride it out with, right? Like, you can take a property back and maybe the market is in a downturn, but you can turn that into a rental, cash flow it. There's a lot of opportunity to pivot, when you see downturns in markets. So it is a perfect segue. We have a lot of clients that use self-directed IRA accounts. This is typically an option that people turn to when they are looking to possibly invest in alternative investments, whether mm-hmm. that's notes, funds. There's a whole list of other things that you can do, but most money managers, investment advisors do not allow for alternative investing. So
right.
It is something, just in the 7 years I've been here, but in the 16 years I've been in the industry, that you see a lot of very savvy real estate investors, whether there are people that are fixing and flipping or are investors that are buying notes, they are taking advantage of their self-directed accounts. One of the things to be mindful of, they do have to be with a self-directed custodian, and there's a million of them out there. We deal with, just on a daily basis, the ones that we deal with from our clients, I bet you we have 15 to 20 different custodians that our investors are utilizing. I really don't have an opinion one way or another as far as a direction. It really just has to be a good fit for them. There's a lot of things to look at when you're shopping for a self-directed custodian. Fee bases
They can
be very expensive. Sometimes they're by transaction. So if you're the guy fixing and flipping through your IRA and you're, turning houses every 3 months, that's probably not the best way to set it up. Some are based off your portfolio. So it's important to understand that before jumping in with a custodian. And then there's also up to checkbook IRAs,
yeah.
which are IRA accounts you manage yourself. I will put a forewarning out there. You need to be a very detailed person if you're going to do a checkbook IRA, because you don't have a custodian looking after you.
Precisely.
Yeah. So, there's just a lot to do with them. One of the things that, if you're my age, and I'll throw it out there, I'm 48, and Eric jokes and asked me this morning, I think, if we had cars when I was in high school.
That was taken out of context.
I'm not quite that old. However, my husband and I are looking to create wealth for our family down the road and for retirement. We're not necessarily looking for monthly income. So using a self-directed account, whether that's to buy properties through and flip them through to put the profit back in there, we don't need any more income to be taxed off of, is a perfect opportunity. Or if you're at retirement age and you're pulling money out of it, I have a lot of clients that fund notes or are in our fund, and they just get their quarterly returns and they're out traveling the world. So it really just kind of depends on what your strategy is and, what point of life you're in. However, we do help all of our clients. So I will tell you, self-directed custodians can be cumbersome. They're very particular. They are there to keep you out of trouble so that you're not creating tax implications for yourself. And we help all of our clients. I think that's something that really sets us aside. You know, whether we have clients buying notes or putting money in our fund, we will assist them filling out paperwork, submitting everything to their custodian, because it is quite a process. And that custodian's there to make sure they're doing it right. Every I needs to be dotted, T needs to be crossed.
So. And they're not going to have a financial advisor with this type of a custodian. So you need to have tempered expectations as to what level of support you get from these companies.
Right. And some are better than others. You know, if you're the investor that is looking for a lot of hand-holding, you're going to talk to the same person. Every time you call, there's definitely different custodians out there that provide that. If you're savvy enough and, you know, have a fairly good handle on what you're doing, there's probably some other options out there for you that aren't going to charge you as high a fees. So, you know, just know that there's a lot of them out there. We can give you a list of them. If you get a hold of Eric or I, we can give you some options that you can explore as far as custodians go. And again, that number you can call for that information is 800-971-5988. Or email myself, hdreeves@securedinvestmentcorp.com, or ebergman at securedinvestmentcorp.com, and we can get you that info. We'd be happy to give you more info on that. But it's a great opportunity. You know, if you're looking for an investment that you're not going to create tax implications for yourself, using your self-directed accounts is...
Yeah. In my opinion, you should have both. Again, it's not a one or an other. It's a both. My thing about IRAs or self-directed IRAs is when the IRA was enacted back in the 70s, the language specifically said this can be invested in illiquid or alternative investments such as commodities, private equity, private businesses, private stock that's not traded on an exchange. So all of these things were made available as vehicles to invest in your IRA. The problem was and still is those custodians, the big ones that we've all heard of, that we all have our IRAs or 401k rollovers at, they were unwilling to make those types of investments available because those weren't on their platform. These big companies are in the business of selling mutual funds. They have been for 30 years. Mutual funds, ETFs, they have proprietary products that they want to sell you. And the types of investments that you would make in a self-directed IRA, they do not flow into those custodians. So they don't want you to take assets off of their platform and invest it into a different IRA. So that's why a lot of you you're probably sitting here saying, what is a self-directed IRA? I've been a financial advisor for a long time, and I very rarely even heard the word self-directed IRA because, the big companies really want you to stay clear from that, and they want you on their path, right? The mutual fund path. So, in fact, there was a guy, what was his name? James. We were talking about this. There was a guy named James Swanson in the 90s who started a corporation that was owned by his IRA, and that's how he invested, was through the corp, with the IRA owning the corp, and the IRS ended up suing him. And he won that lawsuit, and because of that, the checkbook IRA was born, meaning removing the custodian completely from the picture and allowing the individual to operate his IRA from an inflow and outflow standpoint completely and entirely on his own. I'm not recommending the average investor to do that because there's a lot of ways you can get in trouble doing that. But a checkbook IRA is something that's feasible if you're up for the task. And having a tax deferred account that allows you to invest in investment opportunities that wouldn't be on your standard financial advisor's platform gives you further diversification that your broker's not going to offer you. He's going to tell you don't do it. You're going to say, hey, Mr. Broker, I want to go set up this other IRA to invest in these types of assets to get true diversification. They're going to say, no, don't do that. Stay here. We have a plan. Everything is we have a plan. Stay the course. So, that's my take on that.
Well, it's really common. I talk to a lot of clients that have heard exactly what you just said. And what we're not trying to say is to completely take everything away from your manager and put it in a self-directed account. I think Eric has a good point. I think it's diversification. Most of our clients that have self-directed accounts have, you know, liquid assets that they're funding notes and putting money in the fund in. They're using self-directed IRAs. Some of them have 401ks that they can utilize. We've been never encourage you to put all your eggs in one basket, but it is a really good opportunity to diversify your portfolio through a self-directed account.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you not have both? And, you know, you got to be mindful of the costs associated
right.
with self-directed IRAs. They're expensive.
They can eat you up.
They can eat you up. You do not want to fund a self-directed IRA and leave it in cash. That's going to be a really bad situation. So have a plan, open the account, fund the account, and put the money to work right away.
Right.
And get the true diversification out of that account. Let's see. Just speaking of financial advisors and this whole, you know, stay the course. I think it's so prevalent when the fear gauge starts to rise and the volatility kicks in and people are scared. I saw a commercial over the weekend, but it was from a big mutual fund company. Mm-hmm. And it said something to the effect of, sometimes the best investment is to do nothing. That's what it said. And it showed a big fat seal laying on a dock, like in the ocean, doing nothing. Right. And I'm thinking to myself, OK, I'm thinking, so what message does this send other than the fact that says, don't sell our mutual funds? Right. Please don't sell our mutual funds. OK, we get what you want. But think about what you're saying. I mean, I met with two sets of clients over the past week that were in a post-retirement phase, or one was just about to be in a post-retirement phase, mid to late 60s. Mm-hmm. Right. They've been through the 2008 correction, obviously, and they're just now recouping. I mean, out of all this bull market we've had in the past 10 years, they're just now getting back to where they were in 2008.
Wow.
So it took a decade. Do you think these people have time to do a whole nother cycle?
No.
I mean, so when a commercial comes out like that, it's like, who are you talking to? Are you talking to the 30-year-old or are you talking to the 70-year-old that just retired? Stay put. Don't worry. We have a plan. We sat down. We put in some numbers into the computer. Now we have a plan. So don't go anywhere. I mean, it's just rubbish. I mean, rotate your assets. If you think there's more risk to the downside than there is to the upside, then move the money somewhere else.
Right.
And that's what we're recommending our clients do. And if you're interested in doing that or would like more information in doing that, give us a call at the number that Heather had been mentioning.
Absolutely. So I wanted to touch base a little bit. I don't believe the last podcast that we had our quarter one performance results for our fund. Our current fund, Fund 2, pays out on a quarterly basis. And so at the end of March into April 15th, to be exact, we did our quarterly payouts. And I love that time of year. I love at the end of every quarter because it's we keep a very close pulse on what's going on with the fund in regards to revenue. And we're always pivoting. We meet on a weekly basis as fund managers, making decisions on what we're going to do with the fund to create more revenue. But I always like to see the final numbers at the end of the quarter because I think it's really interesting. Our fund had an amazing quarter. We paid out an annualized return of 13.57, which is just unreal. Like, you know, we've been historically, you know, hovering around 12%. But we had a couple properties that sold that did very well. So we were very happy with it. For those of you that don't know, we have a fund, and it is an opportunity if you are accredited to go into the fund and invest money. Right now, you do have to be accredited. That will soon be changing. Soon, we hope, with a new fund, but we can give you more information about that when we have that available. So for right now, our fund is active in originating our notes through Kogo Capital, mm-hmm. and then we can actually take 25% of our fund balance, and we are active in the Spokane market, which right now, you were even talking about this, is just a hot market. We target first-time home buyer properties. We go to auction. We buy off-market deals from distressed sellers, and we're turning those houses in, you know, sometimes under 30 days. And getting them back on the market. So we've given the fund an opportunity to get some really good returns. I don't want to get too granular, but we, for last quarter, I'll give you just a little bit of specific information. our cash payouts to our actual fund in members or investors. We originated last quarter 42 loans, and we actually sold those notes. So the benefit to the fund is we sell them, we retain an interest spread, and we can go out and originate more. So we do make money off of the origination side of it. Dollar value of loans originated during that period was $4.2 million in notes, and we actually sold a little over $5 million. So that shows you how quickly those notes originate and sell. And then another thing I just wanted to point out real quick was we had proceeds from the sales of properties for the quarter of $131,000.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Can we touch, Heather, I hate to go back, could we touch more on the originated notes and then the sell-off of those securities?
Yep.
I really think that's the secret, right? So you originate a piece of debt. You are dependent on a borrower paying their mortgage, right? There's default risk in that, mm-hmm. naturally. But to be able to have strong deal flow to generate those mortgages and then have institutional partners that are literally lining up to buy them, and we can eliminate that default risk almost simultaneously while maintaining the alpha in the portfolio and maintaining that level of income. So I just wanted to stress that because that's really what drives home the value proposition of this fund. It's the income without the volatility, right. Without the risk. I'm not going to say there's no risk, but it's heavily mitigated by getting those assets off of our books as quickly as we possibly can.
Absolutely. No, I think it's a great thing to point out. The other thing to point out is we had $282,000 last quarter in interest revenue, which just goes to show as we continue to grow that portfolio with that alpha, it continues to make the fund more profitable right. and more profitable. So the ability to sell those off and continue originating and growing that portfolio of interest spread is beneficial to the fund too.
Precisely.
So, no, it's a great opportunity. I mean, I get a lot of investors that actually talk to me or call and are interested in notes, you know, and it's always the same question. Well, what's the risk? This sounds too good to be true, right? Mm-hmm. The risk is you might have to foreclose, and there's a lot of upside in foreclosure. I can tell you our CEO loves to fund notes out of his IRA because he knows if he forecloses and takes that property back right. and it's profitable, that profit goes back into his IRA tax deferred.
And these are individual notes we're talking about.
And these are individual
the
notes, right.
Okay.
But you still have your handful of investors that just don't want to take on that risk. They don't want to have to pay to foreclose. They don't want to have, you know, the possibility of not receiving interest payments. You know, some of them live off of this. Some of the people travel off of it. So it's a lifestyle, right? Mm-hmm. And so the fund is a perfect opportunity. It's still ultimately the same asset. It's the notes and it's the properties, but it's much less
default risk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, if investing in notes is great, assuming you are 100% comfortable owning the asset itself. So when you go into a note arrangement and you like, hey, I like this yield, I like the property, I like the location, well, great, even if it's a small chance, you better like owning it too, because there's a chance you're gonna. And when you do, you need to have an exit strategy of what you're going to do when you own that property. Are you going to hold it? Are you going to rent it? Are you going to sell it? If so, what work needs to be done? Who's going to buy it? Yada, yada, yada. So there's more that goes into it, but you can really create additional return on your investment through a foreclosure process because hopefully you got that asset substantially below the appraised value.
Right. And that is one thing that we strive to really determine is what the value of that property is. I mean, all of these notes, regardless of whether you're buying a one-off note or going into the fund, are notes that have been fully underwritten by our staff. We have received a brand new appraisal, interior and exterior, to determine the value. And there's times that we don't even accept an appraised value. I mean, we don't just accept it because it was appraised and this is what this guy said. We're going to look at it, right? And we're going to look at it in that local market and make sure that that's a valid value on the property. But yes, there's a lot of nuances with foreclosures. There's cost involved. There's, you know, loss of interest received. There's insurance you may have to pay. There's always going to be property taxes. If someone's not paying their mortgage, they're not likely to be paying their property taxes. So there's just a lot that goes into it. But good opportunities either way. You just have to decide what your strategy is and what your risk tolerance is, really. Another thing to notate. So we talked about self-directed IRAs, right? Mm-hmm. I've been going to events for 7 years. I've met a lot of custodians. We are in talks with one particular custodian that has agreed to actually be a guest on a future podcast. He is the expert at IRAs. I have listened to him speak. He does an amazing job, and he has agreed to actually guest speak at one of our podcasts. So date is to be determined. However, if you want to be able to listen to that, please get a hold of Eric or I at the office so we can get you on the list and make sure that that link's sent out to you. It's going to be outside of our Impact Investment podcast. It's going to be a little special thing, so we want to make sure that you get access to that. So please get a hold of Eric or I, and we can get you that info. Again, you can call in at the number 800-971-5988 or go to our website at www.securedinvestmentcorp.com and you can reach out to us.
Also, just want to mention here at the end, if you are an income-oriented investor, particularly one that's coming into a retirement phase or in a post-retirement phase and is worried about their equity exposure, please give us a call. We'd love to talk to you about that. You know, Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway has $114 billion sitting in cash right now, okay? There's a reason for that, okay? Warren Buffett does not have too many cycles left, but he's going to make sure that this next one is huge. So my advice is just that. Take some chalk off the table, take some profits, maybe build up a cash position or some sort of a safety net, and wait for these prices to reset and rotate assets and rebalance the portfolio and put yourself in a position of strength as opposed to just hoping that the worst doesn't happen.
Well, again, thank you, everybody, for attending. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. Again, if you want to talk with Eric or I further about any of this, please reach out to us.
Thanks, Heather.
Yep. Till next time. See you then.
Bye, guys.